If you're hearing talk on the internet, you're listening to TalkZone.com.
Wow, thank you for that.
TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earl and David Spada. Whoa.
We are back better than ever, and I better be better than ever because, David, that was probably the worst opening that I've done here in about 2.5 months. But anyway, we've got Fred Huebner in studio, and we are having a good time because, you know, Fred is such a professional. We're just, you know, I'm just a football player that got hit in the head a few times, and of course, David, you're out there racking up
miles and trying to make some
miles,
money.
Make some money in the courthouse and so forth and so on.
No, you know, but it was great having Ted Hendricks on because you just remember as growing up, just watching football, sitting down with my dad watching the big games, and it's not like now where with DirecTV you can get every single game. If you get a chance to see the Raiders, you'd be lucky. You'd be fortunate to see a guy like, you know, Hendricks play because you'd always get the Bears game and then whatever game was out west, but usually they were smart enough to put the Raiders on back in the day.
Oh, yeah, Sunday morning at 12 o'clock, be watching the Bears game, Johnny Morris doing the game to the Genie, and then what was it, Pat? I can't think of the third member of that team back then.
Yeah, I can't either. I know what you're talking about, but I can't think
of his name. Who was the Bears broadcasters back then? That was during your heyday.
Oh, yes.
When you had the curly locks.
The curly locks.
That might have even been before his heyday.
Well, yeah, you're talking about radio or TV?
TV.
Yeah, it was always, Johnny Morris and
Pat Ryan.
Pat Ryan. That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. It was amazing. You get the Bears game, then whatever game they give you in the second half.
Yeah.
And you'd see Johnny just give you the analysis. Yeah. It was incredible.
Johnny was great. And then if you're ever at the racetrack, you might see Johnny on, you know, on off days.
Yeah.
At the track quite often.
On the racetrack.
Mike still is. Yeah. My grandfather worked at the track for 20 years, and he'd see Lou Boudreaux, Johnny Morris, Arnie Harris, the whole crew.
All of them. They'd always go out. All the baseball guys, and I know Johnny Morris, a big horse fan, and I saw him out at Arlington a couple years ago.
Yeah. Actually, my grandfather gave me the hats. I'd be going to the Catholic grade school wearing a Hawthorne ski cap or Maywood. The kids would be looking at me, and they'd go, where'd you get this? My grandfather works at the track.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Cicero, so going to the rack, we used to walk to the racetrack. In my senior year of high school, we had study hall. I was studying the form. And everybody else was studying what they were supposed to be studying.
Oh, exactly.
And that way, that's how I ended up in radio.
So, Fred, you grew up in Cicero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What high school?
Went to Morton East High School.
Okay.
And then when I got out of high school, my dad was involved with sports on TV. He was the executive producer of the Chicago Cougars, WHA hockey team, and also the Chicago Bulls on Channel 44. So I would hang around with my dad and we'd sit in on production meetings and things like that back in the day. And when I got out of high school, I wasn't, unlike Ted Hendricks, I wasn't good with numbers. So I wasn't sure about the whole college thing. And I ended up going to broadcasting school and got a job at Sports Phone in 1977.
Oh, I remember that.
I worked at Sports Phone 976-1313 for years.
And 2525.
2525 was Sports Phone Extra. We'd run quizzes and that. And I worked with guys like Ron Gleason and George Hoffman and Les Grobstein and
all the guys. All those
that
guys
eventually,
were there.
Wow. Yeah, Jeff Joniak was there for a little
while. Canellis, Wheeler.
Lou Canellis, Brian Wheeler, who does the Portland Trail Blazers. So it was a great, proving ground for everybody. And, thank goodness Sports Talk Radio came around. Otherwise, I don't know what we all would have done.
Well, you know what? All the guys are dialing that number, don't you?
Yeah.
All the bettors.
All the bettors.
All the gamblers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All the gamblers.
I was 12 years old dialing that number, trying to win the trivia. That's my first experience with Fred. I'd be calling up all the time.
We had a thing called the Quickie Quiz at 10:15 and 4:15 every day.
Quickie Quiz.
Monday through Friday, Quickie Quiz questions. And it turns out one of the guys, there were two brothers that used to win all the quizzes, and that guy went on to work at Stats, not Stats Incorporated, but one of the big stats companies, and he's in Boston, and I had a chance to meet him a while back, and he would win all the time, constantly. They would always win.
Oh, yeah, because I remember, I think, 11 o'clock or 10, like you said, there was a quiz, and then there was Sports Phone Extra had a quiz with four clues, and you tried to get on the first, second, or third clue, because the fourth, you knew who it was, and they give away books. I won all kinds of times.
No kidding.
Under my name, other names.
Sure. It was Jay and Barry Vershbo were the two guys. And Jay Vershbo is a guy that works out of Boston, and he worked with one of the stats companies for years. And it was just great. I got to meet so many people through that.
It was amazing. I mean, calling up that number, that was before they charged a fortune to make those calls.
That's when it was good. It used to be just a message unit, and then they started charging
more. Yeah, exactly.
And then it got to be out of hand. But, hey, that's where Mike North first heard me. Not that Mike North ever placed any money on games or anything.
Wasn't Burnsy a big caller?
Yeah.
Burnsy may have been a caller. Yeah, he was probably trying to win the quizzes also. So yeah, but it was fun, and that's basically how it all came about. And then you know the score came around a couple years after Sports Phone stopped, so it was a couple year gap there.
My mom was ready to kill me back in those days, calling up the teams. I called a Willie Galt when he's with the Bears, left a message, give me a call. We haven't worked on the River Forest on the house. Willie calls, my mom answers the phone. He goes, this is Willie Galt. Willie Cole, are you the roofer?
Roofer.
He goes, no, I played for the Bears. She goes, what? Did my kid join football? And then he goes, no, I played for the Chicago Bears. She goes, oh, don't worry. I wouldn't know who you were unless you're Mickey Mantle.
That's nice.
I had Roland Heeman call on the house.
Roland Heeman was a great guy. One of the great, great guys for the with White Sox. And when the White Sox actually got in 83, they had all the champagne, and his champagne-soaked suit was in the hallway by the barge room at Comiskey Park. It was great.
You're going to rub it in, the Sox winning the World Series and the Cubs, my team.
Well, you know, it's great to have a World Series championship when your team gets there.
Absolutely.
The Cubs will experience, for them not to win a game last year was the most, I'm sorry, as a Cub fan, it had to be the most embarrassing thing out there.
When they hit that grand slam, you knew it was over.
Yeah.
It was like the Bartman play. You knew you were cursed.
Well, and Dempster was one pitch away from getting out of that inning because he had gotten out of a bases-loaded jam before that. And he was one pitch away from getting out. If he gets out of it, who knows? The whole thing could have been different.
There was Pinnell. It was bad managing. The guy was giving up a ton of walks. He had control problems. He had to pull him before that inning, but he tried to get more pitches. I think it was like 100 pitches when he gave up that grand slam.
Yeah, well, you know what? If he knew at that point that Ted Lilly wasn't going to get off the bench the entire series, maybe he could have had Ted Lilly warming up and bring in another starter. I mean, that's why you have five starters during the year. And if you're only going to use three of them in the postseason, I mean, you know, got to have somebody ready to go.
I don't know, is Pinella just losing it or what?
Well, I think he was shocked like everybody else was. I think the last thing he thought was going to happen for the second year in a row was a team not, you know, coming out and not being able to hit the ball.
Right.
I mean, it was shocking. And people, they were all yelling at Pinella because he played Fukudome. Well, you know what? Fukudome wasn't the only guy that didn't get on base. Nobody did.
Aramis didn't hit.
If Fukudome would have got on base, what would he yell to Lou about? Because nobody would have drove him home. Nobody did anything.
And the infield had probably their worst games of the season with all the boo-boos.
In the second game, they all made errors.
Everybody in the infield made errors. Unbelievable.
But we won't talk any more Cubs if you don't want to. It is White Sox Fest later on today. It starts.
Oh, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, which is always fun.
We're trying to get Eddie Payton on the phone, but Dave has had no success yet. He left him a message. Hope he'll call back in. Love to have Eddie Payton on. Of course, that's the older brother of Walter Payton, and I've had an opportunity to play a lot of golf with Eddie. He is a character. Hopefully that we'll be able to track him down. But I will give you one Eddie Payton story.
Mm-hmm.
And that, actually two. In 1987, we were down in the Carolinas playing a celebrity golf outing and so forth. And what they did was they matched up two NFL guys, okay, with a member of the LPGA.
Okay.
Okay, so that was kind of cool.
It was great.
You know, and then it put the fourth in of a fan that had purchased whatever, you know, to buy in
sure.
to our foursome. So anyway, we all drew straws to see what athletes got paired up with it. And I get paired up with Eddie Payton. I go, all right, this guy's a pro.
Yeah.
You know, he's really good. And then out of the hat that evening when they're pulling for our team for the LPGA, our choice came up, Laurie Davies.
Oh, jeez.
Unbelievable.
You said you didn't even have to swing a club. You guys had to swing a bag.
I'd never met her before,
yeah.
and I met her when we got up to the first tee there, and she came out and said hi. Of course, she's from England, got that accent and so forth. I took one look at her. She almost looked me in the eye because she's a big woman, you know. And
and she can hit the ball.
And she can hit the crap out of the ball. But anyway, Eddie's looking at her, and I'm looking at her. I believe her ankles were bigger than Eddie's and mine put together.
Yeah.
Okay. She gets up to the tee box, knocks it down about 320, down the middle, and I just put my driver back in my bag and says, nah, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, we're going to use her ball.
Going to use her ball.
Yeah. Did you play off the women's tees or the men's tees?
Oh, my goodness. But needless to say that we did win the tournament, got a couple nice trophies out of it, And
the guy that got lucky to play with you guys didn't have to worry about
He didn't have to worry about a thing. Between Eddie and Laura, man, I tell you, they could just smash that ball around.
Could she putt the ball or she just drives?
Yeah, no, she's an all-around player. She's had a lot of success on the tour,
sure.
And you know, she's still at it.
You know, and that's got to be one of the great things because so many people hear about, you know, the former athletes and the golf, all the golf things you do and all the golf events. But first of all, you guys raise a lot of money. Wherever
sure
you guys go, whatever charity you're playing for, they raise a lot of money. And then the number of people you've had to meet, not only in the sports that you met that you probably looked up to and you had a chance to meet guys. But then you meet a Laura Davies and you meet all these other people, and that's got to be just a pleasure for yourself.
You know, I had the opportunity. I started my golf my junior year in college.
Okay.
And I never played before. And Don James, the head coach at Washington, was his first year there. He says, Robin, he says, we've been invited to Seattle Country Club, and we're going to have an outing, the fundraiser. And I didn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
He just said, show up at this place at this time. And I had to borrow a pair of old rusty, dusted-off clubs, from a fraternity brother. So I go in there, and I'm just kind of walking around, kind of staring around. And all of a sudden, a guy walks up to me, and he had kind of a Spanish accent. Of course, it was Lee Trevino.
Oh, geez.
Okay? I had no idea.
Right. You didn't know who he was?
You know, and here was the cool part is that the three headliners that was for this fundraiser was Lee Trevino, Chichi Rodriguez, and Gary Player.
Oh, man.
Three Hall of Famers.
Now, that was 1974.
Without those three, there is no Hall of Fame. I'm sorry to Jack Nicklaus and Earl Palmer, but without those three, there's no Hall of Fame.
And, of course, I'm kind of a stupid idiot going, who are these guys?
Yeah.
I tell you, I teed off. Of course, I didn't know what a driver was, so I take the longest iron out of the bag. It was like a 2-iron. And one of the guys in my foursome goes, Robin, you sure you want to use that club?
It looks easier than these wooden things.
Yeah, how embarrassing. But the game of golf, I would say, in the 31 years I've been here in Chicago, has been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. And, I started my insurance practice back in 1979, got a license in the off-season, because, back then we didn't make a whole lot of money.
Sure.
We all had off-season jobs.
Which, it would be nice to see some of the players now try and get off-season jobs.
Yeah.
It would be very, very interesting to see them get off-season jobs.
But anyway, I used those outings as a tool to market myself and so forth, and that's how I built my practice, because anybody who's going to spend $1,000 to buy a foursome to come out and play in these outings, is usually a business owner, and that's what I did. I worked with small businesses. I did their health, their disability, their key man insurance. And I did that for 22 years.
Sure.
That's what I lived on. And it was the most enjoyable time of my life. I used to play sometimes 36 a day.
Yeah.
Take some clients out in the morning, take some clients out in the afternoon.
And yeah, it was work. And
my dad, when I was in fourth grade, said, you're going to learn how to play golf because you're going to get more business done on the golf course than anywhere else.
One of the first times I actually met David is I played with you and your father, I think, didn't we?
At the Score Golf outing. Yeah. Probably 5-6 years ago, before they got cheap.
Exactly, before they cut. Well, you know what?
That was a great outing.
It was an unbelievable outing. I mean, you'd pull up and you would see athletes from every walk of life, every different kind of person. I mean, Walter Payton was out there. You had John Paxson out there. You had Bulls players. You had White Sox players.
Bubba Bean.
And then you also had Jimmy Pearsall. His old station wagon and getting his clubs out and just you had so many different chances to meet so many great athletes and great people too. Like I said, I was unfortunately for David and his father, I was their celebrity. So, they probably there's a Walter Payton, there's all these other people, and they get to golf with me.
My dad loved it. He said, Fred's a great guy. Actually, after the we golfed, we sat down for dinner, and who was at our table? Jimmy Pearsall.
Yep.
Fred remembers that.
Oh, unbelievable.
I got Jimmy next to me. I got my dad on the other side, and then my dad makes a comment about Corey Patterson. And Jimmy loved Corey. And Jimmy starts swearing at my dad. You Cub fans think you know everything. Starts swearing. My dad thought he was coming over the table at him. And Fred goes up to my dad and goes, don't worry about it. That's how he is.
Well, Jimmy used to call me. I'd be watching a White Sox game, and my phone would ring, and my wife would go, Fred, it's Jimmy on the phone. And I'd pick up the phone, and I'd go, Jimmy, what's up? He goes, that guy Valentin. Jose Valentin, he couldn't pick up my blank after another error by Valentin. And it was hilarious. Anytime something in the Sox game would happen, Jimmy would call it. Jimmy's one of the great, great guys. If you get a chance to meet him, and he knows the game so well.
Yes, he does.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And he knows the game, and he also hates that he had Anthony Perkins portray him in his movie.
I'll tell you a great golf outing story. My folks were out visiting me. It's back in 1991, we were out at in Riverwoods there forgot what the name of the course, private club, and I brought my dad with me, ride along the golf cart and hang with me, because I was always, the celebrity's always the fifth guy, and he's got the empty cart, so he rode with me, and I'd let him get up there and make a few putts once in a while. We get done, we get showered up, and we're sitting in the bar area there, and guess who walks up? Dennis and Bobby Hall. Okay? I introduce them to my dad.
Uh-huh.
I had never seen my dad laugh so hard. He was having a ball with these guys.
Oh, they're fun.
Never met him in, you know, they didn't even know they were hockey players.
Yeah.
Right? But when Dennis and Bobby get together as brothers, have you ever heard these guys?
Not together.
Oh, add a couple of scotches with it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, man. That was unbelievable. Then we go sit down, and, of course, they grab my dad. Oh, you're sitting down with us.
Yeah.
And then at the same table is Coach Ditka.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And, of course, my dad knew who the coach was.
Yes.
So I introduced him to him, and he says, man, that was a great night. Still talks about it
sure.
today.
Who drank more, Ditka or Bobby?
Oh, man, I tell you.
It was a long night, I'm sure.
It was a long night. We finished up dinner. They did the whole thing. Then they all went back to the bar,
mm-hmm.
and then Bobby had the bartender get out the the cone or the what's the stuff they put in the coffee?
Baileys.
Baileys. Gets a whole bottle of Baileys out. Get the coffee rolling, and then they started on that Baileys. Thank goodness I was on. I live right around the corner.
Uh-huh.
From there. we staggered home that night.
Yeah,
we
Baileys is quite home. Good, quite tasty.
Fred remembers some of those nights in Vegas with Mike.
Yeah. Well, we were in Vegas a couple years ago, and David came out and watched. And that was the one day before one of our shows. We were watching the NCAA tournament, and I had 20 Guinness. 20.
Oh,
yeah,
cow.
It was a long night. And then the next day was St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
Yeah, and I hopped on a plane and went and came home, and then went down to the state high school basketball tournament. I've been doing that for 26 years with my buddies. And what we do down there is we drink the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, well, I'm just going to be your designated driver for the next couple of days.
St. Patrick's is always a good day because my birthday follows the next day.
Is it really?
On the 18th of March. So we just kind of make it a two-day holiday.
Sure, why not?
A two-day drunk in my drinking days.
Why not?
Anyway,
not
we're going to take a quick break. We are the Barely Legal Show. We're so happy to have Fred Huebner in studio with us.
Even I mispronounced it before.
I know. We'll be right back in a couple minutes.
The commercial critics claim that you should never start with a question. They might be right, but the heck with those so-called critics. So I'm going to start by asking the listeners two very important questions. Question one, how many millions of people have a home phone and or cell phone in the Chicagoland area? Question two, how many would like to have unlimited calling from their home phone and cell phones for only $24.95 a month with no credit checks, no deposits, or contracts to sign? Well, if you're like me, the only answer I can come up with is a resounding yes to both questions. Hi, Robin Earl here, and I'd like to introduce you to Liberty International and the massive rollout of WiMAX, which is going to happen very soon to the Chicagoland area. What is WiMAX, you say? Well, all I know is WiMAX is the fourth generation, or 4G as the techies call it, of wireless technology. It is designed to enable high-speed mobile internet access. Experts predict that by the end of 2010, the United States will have over 140 million subscribers to this new WiMAX technology. So what does all this mean and how does it benefit you? Well, by going on the Liberty International phone service for only $24.95 a month, and remember, there's no tax, no deposits, no credit checks or contracts to sign, and when you refer three friends or neighbors to our service, your phone service is totally free. You will never have to write a check to your home phone or cell phone provider ever again. If you'd like further information about Liberty International and the incredible opportunity it provides, please give me a call at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. Again, that's 224-515-0500 or my website at robinearl.net. Get a hold of me. The only thing you got to lose is your phone bill.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's Coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's Coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's Coffee is so good.